I've been thinking about time this week. I think partly because it's the last couple weeks with snow days and some of you like me have been sick and under the weather, and it's just time hasn't flowed exactly as it normally does. That's part of it. It's been tough keeping track of the days as they're not their normal routine. But also both these scripture readings reference time. And so I want to start this morning by considering how we experience time versus God's experience of time. And I think that plays into the message of both these passages as well. Notice Paul tells the people in Corinth and us, the time is short. And Jesus says, now is the time. We experience time sort of the way Paul is describing it. The time is short, Paul says. It's a reminder to us that time keeps moving along. That's how we experience time. We are in the flow of time, if you will. We experience past and present and future. But what's also interesting about our experience of time is we can never really grab hold of it. I mean, the minute we might try to experience the present moment, it's gone. It's already passed. This is part of the reason why the whole idea of meditation is to try and be more in the moment. But even in that sense, again, it passes us by. We can't grab hold of it. Reminded of the Greek philosopher Heraclitus, who was the one who said, everything is change, and used the analogy that no man can step in the same river twice, because the water flows. The river changes. Time is like that. Time kind of flows like a river for us. And we can try and grab hold of it, but it keeps flowing through our fingers, if you will. I suspect that's also, I don't know why, but as you get older, you know, when you get old like me, time really passes quickly. I remember people trying to tell me that when I was a kid, and I thought they were crazy, but it's true, and you all know that. But time keeps flowing by. We can't really grab hold of it. So Paul says the time is short. Now, in one sense, Paul, and in other places he says it more explicitly, is talking about the coming of Christ again. And he's saying, you know, the time is short. And in some ways, it sometimes sounds like Paul is expecting Jesus will return in his lifetime. And Jesus didn't. But Paul is right. For all of us, the time is short. We never have as much time as we think. And it may be that Jesus will return before I've finished this sentence. Okay, it didn't happen yet, but... or it may be another 2,000 years or more. We don't know. But we do know this. The time until Jesus returns and the world is made new and complete is closer than it was for Paul. And closer than it was just a moment ago. The time is short for us. Now, of course, for God, the experience of time is totally different, almost the reverse. If we can never grab hold of now, it keeps flowing by. For God, every moment is now. If time for us is like being in that river, for God, it's like standing on the bank. You can see the whole river at once. For God, every single moment is some sort of perpetual, eternal now. God has no past or future, just present. This is the kind of stuff I think about when I'm snowbound at home, by the way. But it's true. So that's why, if you remember last week's reading said God knows us. God knows us even as God is knitting us together in our mother's womb. God knows everything we're ever going to think or say or do. And God can do that because we're in the river of time and God's on the bank and can see it all at once. I think Jesus is alluding to this when he tells the people, now is the time. Every moment is now. And of course, Jesus is also saying, look, I'm here now. God's work is being done now and at every moment. Because with God, there is no past or future. Every moment is now. God's work is now, always happening, every single moment. And to us, it seems like things may ebb and flow and change, but for God, it's all one. So Jesus says, now is the time. The time to what? Change your hearts and your lives and your mind. Time to shift your perspective on things. Time to come and follow me, like he says to the disciples at this moment. Now is the time. Don't wait. In that sense, Paul and Jesus are really saying exactly the same thing. Paul is saying the time is short, so don't wait. Jesus is saying now is the time, so don't wait. And what's the change that they're talking about? This change of perspective, I would say, from the world's view to God's eternal view. To try to look at life more and more like we're standing on the bank of the river rather than in the flowing water. So that's why Paul offers this, on the surface, kind of strange-sounding advice. He says, if you have wives or husbands, if you're married, behave like you're not married. If you're sad, behave like you're not sad. If you're happy, behave like you're not happy. If you are buying something or selling something, behave like you don't have possessions. If you are using the world, if you're in the world, behave like you're not preoccupied with the world. Now, let's be clear what Paul isn't saying. Paul is not saying, if you're married, get divorced. He's not saying, if you're feeling sad or happy, it's not right to be feeling those things. He's not saying if you're buying or selling something, you shouldn't have any possessions. Or if we're in the world as we are, we shouldn't live in the world. He's saying it's a matter of perspective. Notice the word like in each of these sentences. If you are married, if you're experiencing intense emotions, sadness or happiness, if you're buying or selling, behave like you're not doing those things. In other words, pay attention to what's truly important underlying all of the experiences of this life. It's not unlike what Paul was counseling us about the body in last week's reading, where he was saying, honor God through your body. Take care of your body. Your body is a temple, but don't be too preoccupied with it like we tend to be in our modern world. Tend it, take care of it, but don't obsess about it. That's what he's really saying about everything in this life. In your relationships, tend to them, take care of them, but don't obsess about them. And use them to honor God. That's the ultimate goal. Your emotions, whatever you're feeling, if you're grieving, if you're rejoicing, use those emotions to honor God. Don't get wrapped up in the emotion, but use it as a way to honor God. Your possessions. It's okay to have things, to buy and sell. But don't get wrapped up in them. They're not of ultimate importance. They're going to flow away just like the river does. So enjoy them. Use them. But don't get wrapped up in them to the exclusion of God. Whatever you are doing in this world, do it. Enjoy it. Use it to honor God, but don't think that it's of ultimate value. There is something of more value and importance, and that is the eternal, never-changing, never-ending God and God's kingdom. It's all a matter of perspective. I think both Jesus and Paul are trying to tell us that. And because the time is short, we need to keep trying to change our perspective more and more to God's perspective than to the world's perspective. What's truly important and what's temporary and fleeting and flowing and passing. I think the counsel here is everything that we do in this world, we should hold on to lightly, gently, like you're holding a young bird or something. You hold on to it, but you don't squeeze it too hard. Hold it gently, lightly. Maybe let it flow through your fingers like the waters of that river. But there is one thing that we shouldn't hold on to gently. There's one thing that we should grasp strongly and firmly, and that is God and God's kingdom and the values of God's eternal kingdom: love and peace and joy and hope. I think the counsel here from both Jesus and Paul is everything else hold on to lightly, gently. But hold on to God for dear life. Amen.